Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This Aspire radio program, we like to call it Satsang, is for June the 2nd, 2018, and I am humbly grateful that you chose to listen to me today. I really am deeply, deeply honored. We're going to talk about no thing. I get little questions about this. What does no thing mean? Why is it important, that kind of thing? I want to remind you that these radio programs are supported solely and entirely upon the sponsorship of those who are kind enough in their heart, in their being, to sustain this program with their either quarterly or monthly contributions. They're called sponsors. We've had them for years. They are people who care about you, believe it or not, and want to see that you have this message, at least consider it, and maybe you will become a sponsor and help us sustain our radio program. It is very important for it to sustain itself because there's no other program like it on the air. And I hope that you will avail yourself of helping a very unusual group of people to sustain and keep what is very, very unusual on the air, which is this radio program, our TV program, Aspire, which you can see either on YouTube, but I'd prefer that you go to the website at aspire.org. They're more organized there, and take a look at our website and enjoy all of the programs that are there. There are so many. And if you become a sponsor, there are many, many blessings that you get for your sponsorship. There really are. And if you go to the website, again, at aspire.org, you will see in the middle of the page support, that four-letter word that everybody just dislikes. But it is so very necessary. You hit that button and there will be a drop-down menu that will ensue. And it says, why support Aspire? And it will explain to you the whole kit and caboodle of what it means to support Aspire, what you get for your support, which is some really nice offerings. And that is if you're interested in inner work. And all of that will be hopefully of interest to you. What does this word no thing mean before we get into it? Nothing. Having no prospects, no progress, no value. That's what the dictionary definition of the word nothing is. But when it is used in the context of inner work of Zen, this beautiful work of no thing means strictly we are not talking about a thing. We are not talking about a concept, an idea, an ideal. In our minds, how we live our life, we live as an ideal. Well, let me get to the first question, then I'll start talking a little bit about this and hopefully able to translate it into something that helps you. First one comes from Terry. He does not, or she does not, tell me where they're coming from. What is meant by wanting no thing with all of your heart, as you often talk about? To want nothing with all of your heart was a statement the Buddha made in the Dhammapada. So you must understand that this isn't my wordiology. I think it is such a beautiful statement, to want nothing, no thing with all of your heart. Terry, this is one of the most profound teachings I think I have ever read in my life. Probably one of the most profound teachings in the world. Let me explain. To want no thing. First of all, the word want is in dire contrast to wanting no thing. How can you want nothing? But it is such a beautiful statement, it begs for meditation, contemplation. To want no thing. In other words, you've come to the place in your life where you realize the futility of things fixing anything in you or in me or in this world. The deepest, most beautiful work you will ever do has nothing to do with the thing that the mind can think, the mind can believe in, the mind can desire, which comes from, obviously, our emotional background. So to want nothing, no thing with all of your heart means you've come to the place where you realize there is no cure in the world for what you are seeking in your inner life. If you look at it, we are nothing but a series of biological processes. Our body becomes our life. We look at our body as our life. Anything that happens to the body in this world is our life. Our body is made up of organs and chemicals that act and react in the brain, in the body tissues, in the organs that make up pain and pleasure. So a lot of what our life is about is avoiding the pain to gain the pleasure. And we want longevity. We want to be able to live long periods of time on this earth and never think we're going to die and never be subject to the changes that the body is going through as it ages in this environment called Earth. So once you begin to understand that, you begin to see the thing. The body is a thing, and it needs things to comfort it, to keep it safe, to keep it healthy. It needs the thing of food, healthy food. It needs the thing of clothing for the sake of good taste after the age of 30. It needs transportation. It needs money. It needs shelter. It needs things on this earth because the human body is a thing on this earth. And most people live desiring the things that comfort, clothe, and keep the body comfortable all throughout their life. They call this their life. And sad to say, that's as far as it ever goes with most people. Their life is a matter of gathering the things they want and need to sustain their physical prowess and body. That's it. To want no thing is to come to the place where you begin to realize there is more to your life than the body. The life is more than meat, as Jesus said, and the body, he said, is more than raiment, and he would be right about everything, of course, that he said. There is more to the body. It is a, shall we say, a plethora of genetic urges. People who have lived before you, who had your genetic disposition, and they wanted things also. They lived for things. All of that is inherited in having a body. Once this body has been formulated and established in a lifetime, it starts to gather more and more information and more things to keep it sustained, comfortable, amused, and, shall we say, pleasured. This is the way we live our life. Doesn't go much deeper, as you can imagine, and it has been the totality of it. What Buddha meant when he said, want nothing with all of your heart, is that you come to a place where you see this is not going to save your life. This is not the way of life, the perpetuation of desire, ambition, and pride that comes out of this thingness that we get involved in, starts a whole series of painful events in our life that sustain nothing but mediocrity and sorrow in our life. So to want nothing with all of your heart, as the Buddha said, means you come to a place inside of your life where you realize you need something to transcend. Transcend this idea of thingness in your life, where you are no longer trying to get something into your life and some things out of your life. We are not relegating the totality of our life in the whole idea of what our body is doing and thinking and feeling and going through. we see that there is something other than the body, and we start to have a sense of admission that there is something beyond the shallow and thick walls of our minds that say to us, well, if you get this, you'll be happy. If you get that, you'll be secure. You go beyond all of that into something that is more, shall we say, profound and beautiful. You can do this, and that's what it means to want nothing with all of your heart. With all of your heart, your soul, your essence, with everything that you are. To want to seek the no thing, to find the nothingness, the no thing, the no getting a thing to make your life better. That is a very profound moment in a person's life that few of us ever incorporate in our living. We live for things. We live for the thing of being wealthy. We live for the thing of having more. More of the things we like and less of the things we don't like. And we use our human heart to desire and create ambition and pride until we manifest all sorts of things on this earth, but find ourselves empty and shallow as a person. So there is what it means to want nothing, no thing with all of your heart. And that, my friend, I hope helps you understand the nothingness of it all. Please forgive me. Namaste. I hear myself talking and I think, is this the language that Terry is going to be able to understand? It's a very abstract yet very simple concept. Okay, so Jack asks from Goleta, California, what exactly is no thing? There is a place we arrive in meditation after some practice where we are presented with the whole interiorness of nothing, no thingness, nothing the mind can think. No thingness is the presentation of a thought that doesn't have thoughts, of a mind that doesn't need thought, of a mind that is not interested in thought. What would we be like if we didn't have thought? Now that is an interesting dilemma. What would it be like to have no thought, no thingness thought? My thoughts are always about things. It's about work I have to do, a schedule I'm keeping, people I have to help or am honored to meet or to help in some way. There's always something I am doing in this world, and my thoughts are filled with that. Now, as long as I sustain that no thing mentality, through thinking that the idea of material things as being the only thing that is present in my life or is important in my living, as long as I think in terms of that, I will always have things. But once you start meditating, you are presented with the insight, not the thought, the insight of what it would be like ever so slightly to have a mind that is no longer functioning at the level of thingness, trying to get certain things into his life and certain things out of his life. When my mind is not cluttered with the thingness of what is around me, the enigmas of what I call reality, which is anything that touches my skin, I am in a new world, a world where thoughts just fall away like leaves on a tree in the fall. They are no longer necessary. They don't provide any kind of help. Most of my thoughts are narcissistic and selfish, prideful, angry. They have at the root of themselves their origins, survival, and that's about it. They are not profound in any way, shape, or form. So when you start to meditate, really meditate, Jack, and work upon yourself, going deeper and deeper and deeper into your sense of being, you will find that there is a place where your mind no longer functions in a defensive manner or in an offensive manner. It isn't going to be in the defensive modality, trying to keep things that seem harmful away from you. And it's no longer going to be aggressive enough to try to bring things that it wants or thinks it wants into your life. This mind that is neither this or that, as we call it, nati-nati, neither this, neither that, is a no mind. A mind not seeking to consider, as the Buddha said, what is good and bad and right and wrong. It is about a depth of awareness. When awareness takes over from thinking, when you are no longer involved in your thinking for just a brief moment in meditation, awareness will overtake you. This awareness will bring you to all sorts of insights, never conclusions. Thoughts bring Greg to conclusions. No thing brings Greg to insight. Insight allows Greg to recognize what is really happening, the bigger picture, and to let go and really let go of the idea that any tangible thought has any reality in my life. Now, this is hard for people to comprehend. Sitting there listening to me here on the radio program, hearing what I'm teaching here, I mean, you look at it and you think to yourself, well, what the hell is he talking about? And that's hard because you're thinking right now with your finite mind, with your average everyday mind. But the truth of the matter is, the real truth of the matter is, when you drop that mind and you are no longer interested in that finite mind that is telling you this is a thought, this isn't a thought, this is a good thought, this is a bad thought, when you are no longer involved in that kind of thinking, you come to a very interesting place in your life where you're aware. And you don't need thoughts in proportion to any subject you're into, you're contemplating. Now, awareness takes over and it spreads like wildfire if you just allow it to. You simply become aware of the presence of things in your human life, in your human world, and you see their value and you see even why they are there. You don't need a literal explanation for why they're there. You just know why they're there. And with that as the cause and the effect of your life, you start to build a wisdom. This wisdom has nothing to do with placing one thought after another thought after another thought. It is about that pause, that gap, that space, Jack, between thoughts. In that pause, in that gap, in that space, you and I are immersed in awareness. Awareness is a very blessed state. It doesn't require hate or fear to sustain itself. Awareness is simply non-judgmental. And you get to see exactly what is really happening and not what you and I might imagine may be happening through our thoughts. This is a profound leap into life. To achieve this is the practice of why we meditate. We meditate not to be better, not to be perfect, not to get thoughts out of our mind, none of that. We meditate for the sake of the practice of love. Believe it or not, all this leads to love. And it is very important that we achieve it in our life. Few will make the effort. But those that do understand. They understand beyond the speculation of human understanding. They understand according to awareness. I hope that helps you, Jack. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from Carol in Southern California. Can anyone sustain a no mind? What is needed, Carol? Carol, there are some things that sustain a no mind when you're not formally meditating. And these things that I'm going to tell you will also help you when you do meditate. So let me explain. You have to keep your life simple. Simplicity is the key to no mind. Simplicity meaning keep your expenses down so you don't have to worry about them. Keep your life simple. Do not complicate it with all sorts of needs and wants and frivolous things that have nothing to do with sustaining a simple life. I have one bowl that I eat out of. One bowl. I have dishes when I have company and people come over, but I have one bowl. I wash it every day, 2-3 times a day, and that bowl is what I eat out of, one bowl. And I take that into my life, and I do not make things more complicated than they need to be. I find the world a very complicated place, filled with bureaucracy and selfish stupidity. And I understand all of that. I have the same thing, just like any other person. I have to keep my bowl empty. I have to live with one bowl, one very important bowl. And whatever that is before me, it is within me. I look at everything from the point of view of one thing and one thing alone. It is simply one thing at a time. You have to keep your life so simple inside you that you do not need more than what you need, and you do not live for more than what you think you want. You don't live for wants or needs. You just have one bowl. You fill it with food, and then you wash it. And you go about your day. It is symbolic. It is metaphoric. If you can live one bowl at a time, one moment at a time, one thing at a time, you will start to find yourself living consciously. You will find yourself living in a conscious flow, a conscious movement of kindness. You will start to see the power of kindness and how it perpetuates your life. In that kindness, which will replace wanting people to be kind to you, you will find that kindness is bestowed upon you. To sustain the no-mind attitude, you can't be thinking all the time about what you want and what you need and how this whole thing is going to turn out. One has to be aware of their life in this world, their place in this lifetime, and to sustain what they're doing in that place in order to keep the meaning possible, the meaning of every given second you and I have on this earth. Keep it simple. Can anyone sustain a no mind, you ask? Many are called. Most of us won't. We want more than what is, and we want more than what we're here for. And we complicate our life, and that's up to us, no one else. That is strictly up to us. You can, if you will, if you know what I mean. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, my questioners. I'll be back on the air tomorrow morning. Have a beautiful day. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.